Pretend the buzzing is just a little bit too quiet to hear, but getting louder. Simultaneously listen intently for the buzzing to become loud enough to hear. As the buzzing becomes louder, imagine the sound is causing your soul to vibrate. Increase the imaginary sound until you feel like your soul is being rattled and shaken to the core. Hold the imaginary buzzing and vibrating for several minutes. Repeat the procedure several times if necessary. Chapter 23, Environmental Factors. For a long time I tried to find out if out-of-body experiences are influenced by environmental factors, such as weather, moon cycles, biorhythms, etc. I usually kept good records of my OB so that I could study these variables. Here is what I found. Weather doesn't seem to influence my ability to have OBs. I've lived in Arizona as well as Minnesota, and I've induced OBs when outside temperatures were near 30°F and also when outside temperatures were near plus 115°F. However, if my body is too hot or cold, it's hard for me to achieve the focus needed to induce an out-of-body experience. It doesn't seem to matter if it's raining, snowing or sunny. Moon cycles. Some people believe that the moon can affect our ability to induce OBs, but I think that's a myth. I studied the moon cycles a long time and found no influence. I've had OBs under full moons, new moons, and everything between. For one period of study that spanned over a year and a half, I averaged a 58% full moon. Biorhythms. For a long time I kept track of my biorhythms, in the hopes that I would find a correlation. Biorhythms didn't seem to make a difference. I've had OBs on physical, emotional, and intellectual critical days. I've also had OBs when these influences were farthest from their critical period. Months of the year. I've had OBs in all months of the year. Strangely, I usually have fewer OBs in July. I suspect that's because July is when I have the least amount of time to practice. Days of the week, I've had OBs on every day of the week, but I've had many more OBs on Saturdays and Sundays. That is because I have the time to practice then. On the weekend, I can stay in bed late and induce OBs once my body is fully rested and relaxed. During the week, I don't normally have the time required to induce OBs. Special days. Halloween is traditionally considered a special day, the day that spirits can influence and communicate with the physical world. Other days such as Christmas, Easter and Thanksgiving have special meanings for various groups of people. These special days can evoke feelings in believers, fear on Halloween, peace on Christmas, worship on Easter. Do the collective feelings of these people affect our ability to leave the body? As far as I can tell, no. What about the emotions we have on these days? To some degree, I believe our emotions do have an effect. Once, I was uncomfortable about leaving my body on Halloween because I thought it would be a perfect opportunity for spirits to possess my body. But I did it anyway, and there were no complications. Prior amount of sleep. I've had OBs with various amounts of sleep. I recommend getting lots of sleep before you try to have OBs. One of the biggest problems is trying to induce OBs when the body is too tired. Prior music listening habits. Music relaxes my consciousness too quickly to induce an out-of-body experience. During practice, I like to hold on to the edge of consciousness as long as I can. If I listen to music, I get distracted by it and drop off quickly to sleep. Therefore, I recommend silence. Food. As far as I can tell, food has absolutely no influence on my ability to have OBs. However, people have reported that fasting can increase the ability to have OBs. I've never tried fasting. Some people believe that vegetarianism is better for OBs. I've tried a vegetarian diet except for eating dairy products, and it didn't seem to make a difference. Liquids. I haven't found any correlation between my intake of liquids and my ability to have OBs. I do recommend avoiding alcoholic beverages before trying to induce OBs. Alcohol unfocuses your mind. Believe me, you need as much focus as possible. Sylvan Muldoon recommended jarring your subconscious into taking you out of body by making yourself as thirsty as possible. Muldoon claimed that if you went to bed very thirsty, your subconscious will sometimes sleepwalk astrally toward a source of water. In other words, Your subconscious detects the thirst, and tries to satisfy it subconsciously because you refuse to do it consciously. I've never tried this method. Reading out of body experience books does influence my ability to have OBEs. When I read a book about OBEs, I focus my full attention on the topic while I'm reading, and that sends a message to my subconscious, let me out. And it does. Direction, in Journeys Out of the Body, Robert Monroe recommended pointing your body north when trying to induce OBEs. I've tried to have OBEs facing all directions, and I've been successful in all directions. Strangely enough, I have my best luck when my body is pointing west. I have my worst luck when my body is pointing north. When I induced the vibrations the first time, my body was pointing west. Perhaps it's more effective to point the direction you did during your first successful experience. Practice, by far, the biggest influence on my ability to have OBEs has been the amount of time I spend practicing it. Exercise 23, a high-pitched whining. During your out-of-body experience practice sessions, you may have noticed a high-pitched whining noise in your head. If you listen closely, you will notice the noise I'm referring to. We all hear this high-pitched sound constantly, but normally the sound is drowned out by constant distractions and sounds all around us. Most people don't notice it, but some people have a disorder called tinnitus, which causes this sound to be unusually loud and distracting. You can use this sound to induce OBEs. For this exercise, relax and focus your mind as before. Then start listening for this whining sound in your head. Once you find it, use your imagination to try to increase the pitch and volume. Increase the pitch until the sound is almost out of the range of your hearing. This can cause the vibrations to sweep in and free you from your body. Personally, I think the sound has nothing to do with the vibrations. This exercise is effective only because it can teach you how to properly focus your mind. Chapter 24, How to Have an Out-of-Body Experience. Many people try to induce OBEs without success because they don't know what to do. Unfortunately, most books on the subject don't contain instructions. The few books that contain instructions are typically vague and incomplete. In the exercises given with each chapter, I have already suggested many things to try. In this chapter, I want to fill in some of the gaps, and also provide a detailed description of my most successful method. Of course, I can't guarantee positive results. Your success depends on the amount of effort you put forth. Conditioning. Most out-of-body experience authors agree that your subconscious takes you out of your body every night. With practice, you can use this to your advantage. You can train your subconscious to wake you up after it has left the body. I have used many methods for impressing this idea on my subconscious: affirmations, reading books, listening to subliminal out-of-body experience suggestion tapes, playful visualizations, and listening to music that has out-of-body experience suggestive words. The first method, affirmations or self-suggestion, is to tell yourself, I want to have an out-of-body experience, I want to leave my body, or similar suggestions. The best times to do this are right before you fall asleep and especially right after you wake up in the morning. At these times you are in close contact with your subconscious. I wake up very slowly. For about a half hour I'm in contact with my subconscious mind. When I give myself suggestions then, they are very effective. Make these affirmations several times a day. The second method is to read out of body experience books. I usually have more OBEs when I've recently been reading a book on astral projection. Reading about OBEs and thinking about them as you read makes an impression on your subconscious mind that can often be more effective than self-suggestion. The third method is to use suggestion tapes. The Monroe Institute now has sets of gateway tapes to aid the would-be astral traveler. Valley of the Sun Day Publishing has a set called Astral Projection, which contains one hypnosis tape and one subliminal suggestion tape. Other tapes are also available. The fourth method is to use playful imagination. Affirmations that use visualization are even better than verbal affirmations. Visualize yourself separating from the body. As you do, think to yourself, yes, I can do that. Imagine elaborate scenes where you are either flying through valleys like a glider, or shooting away from your body into outer space. Again, this should be done frequently throughout the day, and especially right after you wake up in the morning. The fifth method is to listen to music with words that suggest obeys. I made a tape for myself, full of such songs by various artists. The songs might not be about obeys, but they still remind me of them enough to make an impression on my subconscious mind. Some examples are, Kashmir by Led Zeppelin, Astral Traveler by Yes, The Wall by Kansas, Lights by Styx, Fly by Night by Rush and Backwards Traveler by Paul McCartney. Physical preparation. The best time to attempt an out-of-body experience is in the morning, after you have woken up naturally, that is, not from an alarm clock. Since most of us work during the week, it's easier to try on the weekends. Give your body plenty of rest. Each person needs a different amount of sleep. The trick is to make your body tired enough to stay in a relaxed state, but not too tired. If I don't sleep enough, I'm too tired and fall back into a deep sleep while practicing. If I oversleep and then practice, I'm too wide awake and can't focus well. The body should be well rested but relaxed, and the mind must be alert. When the time comes to practice, try to detect how tired you are. If you're too tired, stretch a little in bed or shake the sleep off. Some people may want to get up first and have a cup of coffee first. This will usually keep you from falling back to sleep during practice. It is better to wake yourself up completely before starting. Music is wonderful for relaxation and calming the mind. It's okay to listen to relaxing music during your out-of-body experience practice, but this can also work against you. Listening to external sounds can distract you from focusing inward. Also, if you listen to music before bedtime, you may be too relaxed and sleepy to practice the next morning. When you practice, make sure you have good circulation. Get into a position where your limbs won't fall asleep because of poor circulation. Make sure you won't be distracted during practice. Keep your windows closed to keep noises out, unplug the telephone, turn off all televisions, radios and other noisy things. Don't set any time limits on your practice. It is counterproductive to check the time and wonder if your time limit is up. Also, make sure your bladder is empty before practice. The need to go to the bathroom can ruin a good practice. Step 1. Relaxation. The next important condition for out-of-body experience induction is a completely relaxed physical body. Relaxation is important because if you aren't relaxed, you'll have too much consciousness focused in your body. Laboratory tests on astral travelers have shown, with the help of BSR and GSR skin resistance monitors, that the physical body is more relaxed during an out-of-body experience than during sleep. Ideally, your physical body should be completely relaxed in every respect during practice. I recommend practicing relaxation every day until you can completely relax your physical body in a few minutes. Relax your body from limb to limb, working from your feet up to your head, until even your face is completely relaxed. Use any technique you are comfortable with to relax completely. If you don't know any relaxation techniques, do this. Systematically tighten each muscle and make it tense until there is a slight fatigue, then let go and feel the muscle relax. After you've relaxed every muscle, start over and check every muscle again. You may notice that the more relaxed your body is, the less you can actually feel it. Encourage this feeling, while you're relaxing, pretend as vividly as you can that you do not have your left arm, as if it's been cut off and you can't feel it. When the sensation of having no arm becomes quite real to you, that arm is very relaxed. Next, pretend that your other arm does not exist. Next, your legs. Have some playful fun by pretending that your arms are in different positions, and see how vividly you can imagine these things. If you are able to lose all feeling in your arms and legs, or imaginarily feel they are in different positions, your body is very relaxed. Next, relax your face completely. Here's one way to relax your face: with your eyes closed, stare deeper and deeper into the blackness, while very slowly tightening your eyebrows and rolling your eyes up slightly until your eyebrow muscles become tired. Then completely relax your facial muscles for about 15 seconds. Repeat the process again until your eyebrow muscles are tired again, and relax again for another 15 seconds. Repeat this process about 6 or 7 times. Completely relax your whole body again and then try to make your mind blank and relaxed too. The vibrations may even come at this point, making the rest of the process unnecessary. After you're completely relaxed, pay no more attention to your body. Step 2. Quiesce and focus your mind. This is the single most important step. There are 5 key points to focusing your mind for out-of-body experience induction. They are, state of mind, realism, motion, receptivity and passivity. When you are trying to leave your body, the most important thing is your state of mind. When I've been in an ideal state of mind, leaving my body seems like child's play, as easy and natural as breathing. But when I'm not in that state of mind, it seems very difficult. I can't teach this state of mind, but I can describe what it's like. Once you've experienced astral projection, you'll know what state of mind to aim for. The best state of mind is one in which you are a quiet, completely passive, single-minded observer. In this passive state, your mind does not wander. You are not emotional. You are not analytical either. You are merely an observer. Visualization is important in many out-of-body experience techniques, and this passive state of mind makes it easier to visualize images a long time without your mind wandering. The second point, realism, has to do with the degree of focus. This world seems real to us because we are so focused here. You should learn to focus outside your body to such a degree that it all becomes real. Focus your mind into that single thread of consciousness. The third point, motion, concerns the swaying motion you feel within your body. I start an inner swaying sensation in my imagination that later becomes quite real. Then I use the momentum of the swaying to propel myself out of my body. Pretend that your body is gently swaying back and forth, or left to right in a regular motion. Try to make this swaying feeling as vivid as possible. The fourth point is receptivity. This receptive state of mind is important in calling or inducing the vibrations. You should learn to make yourself receptive to whatever comes during practice. The fifth point, passivity, is also very important. The more passive you are, the easier it is to enter the out-of-body experience state. As long as you have a conscious controlling interest in your experience, you are too focused in this reality. Develop the attitude of doing the exercises, not because you are interested in watching them, but just for passive reasons, just to see what happens next, or just for the sake of doing it. While practicing, you should only be concerned with the current moment in time. Be accepting of what comes. Try to assume an attitude where you really don't care what will happen. Be completely in the present moment, with no thoughts of what will happen next. The American Heritage Dictionary defines passive as, 1. Receiving or subjected to an action without responding or initiating an action in return. 2. Accepting without objection or resistance, compliant. 3. Not participating, acting, or operating, inert. By this definition, you should be in a state where you can be subjected to weird feelings without responding, physically or mentally. No matter what hits you, you should be in such a passive state that, when something hits you, you think, "Oh, that's nice," and just continue to lie there and visualize. In this passive state, you can initiate actions, like the visualizations, without responding to them. You fall asleep by becoming interested in, and responding to your own thoughts and visualizations. If you can initiate that state and keep your consciousness out of that dream trap, you can retain your consciousness after it leaves your body. You just want to become a passive observer. I've talked before about needing to suspend a certain portion of your consciousness to leave your body. Suspend the portion that has a vested interest in what's happening. Slow your thoughts and bring yourself into that passive and receptive state of mind. Clear your mind of all thoughts. There are many techniques for doing this. If you don't have a method, try the following. With your eyes closed, pretend that you're looking for something that might appear directly in front of you. Just quietly watch your mental viewing screen. Stare into the blackness. Step 3. Wander the edge of consciousness. The next step is to wander the edge of consciousness, exploring the border between waking and sleeping. Allow yourself to start falling asleep, but then catch yourself and rouse yourself again and make sure you're fully conscious. Let yourself start to fall asleep again, this time allowing yourself to get a little closer towards sleep, then rouse yourself again. Do this several times until your body is very relaxed and your mind is in that passive framework that I discussed. Step 4. Visualize an object. Next, visualize a small object, such as a small cube, about 6 feet directly in front of your face. Visualize this as clearly as you can. Don't continue until you can see this object clearly in your mind's eye. Step 5. Sway the object a small amount, then begin to move the object back and forth so that it appears to come a little bit closer to you and then moves back to where it began. At first, visualize only a tiny amount of movement, as if the object is merely slowly swaying toward you and away from you. Keep the object swaying constantly. Don't let it stop moving. Keeping the object in motion will help to stabilize the image in your mind and give it more realism. Step 6. Increase the amount of swaying. Slowly increase the distance the object sways. Keep swinging the image back and forth toward you, each time bringing it a bit closer to you. As you do this, the image may seem to become more real. Make sure your visualization has a sense of perspective and depth. Each time the object comes closer, it should look bigger. Each time the object pulls away, it should look smaller. Remember, you must also keep that passive, quiescent state of mind during the entire exercise. Step 7. Sway opposite to the object. Try to feel as if you are swaying in the opposite direction as the object. Imagine the object has a strong gravity which affects your swaying. As the object swings closer to you, you are pulled toward it. As it swings away from you, you sway back to your original position within your body. As the object gets closer and closer with each swing, feel its gravity pull you more and more in its direction. Step 8. Grab the object and let it pull you out. After the image becomes very vivid, when it swings close to you, grab onto the image with your mind. As the image swings away, your consciousness will follow it and will be consciously pulled away from your body. At this point you will be out of your body. Then you can let go of the quiescent state of mind, expand your consciousness and you will be very wide awake and very alert. You are then free to explore the non-physical world. It is important to examine your consciousness during the experience to make sure that you are not dreaming. During the experience, ask yourself, is this really happening, or is it a dream? After you return to your body, recall how conscious you were during the experience. Learning to leave your body is something that takes a lot of time, practice and patience. Don't expect results overnight. This chapter has a lot of information to absorb at once. You may spend several attempts just trying to remember all the subtleties involved. Some people don't have any OBs until they have spent years trying. And some people don't get results because they try too hard. Learn to let go. The good news is, the first out-of-body experience is the hardest. Once you've had an out-of-body experience, it's easier to induce more. Also, don't be afraid to experiment and try new things. Develop your own techniques. Use whatever works best for you. Chapter 25, Psychic Experiences. As I continued to practice out-of-body experiences, I had more and more psychic experiences. And I was trying to deny it all. I didn't consider myself psychic, but psychic experiences kept piling up, one upon another, forcing me to admit that I had psychic abilities. What's more, psychic things happened so often that I couldn't write it off as coincidence. I felt as if my higher self was combating my skepticism by throwing undeniable, unbelievable things in my face. I had many different types of psychic experiences. Remarkable. It all seemed to happen overnight. As crazy as it sounded, wishes started coming true. Suddenly the world was magical. Telepathy. Suddenly I was taking the words out of people's mouths, not weekly or daily, but hourly. I wrote some of these down in my journals. Here are some examples. The 5th of December 1980 Monday. I'll ask my mom what we had for lunch. The word tuna fish came to me. A while later she said, there might be some tuna fish around. The 20th of May 1980, today JF and I were talking about how neat it would be if BS, our English teacher, was also our computer science teacher. I thought, what was BS's major in college? JF suddenly said, he was a physics major. The 14th of October 1983 Friday, for one of my classes this quarter, I am in a team of 5 people working on a computer project. Today we had to think of a name for our team. I suggested the name Magnum Opus, and right away one of my teammates said he had just been thinking that, and was about to suggest it himself. The 10th of April 1985 Friday, was programming busily, when I thought I heard JP ask about my computer program, if I fixed my end of statements in a particular section of code. I started explaining to him that I did, and what else I had done, when he told me, that he never asked the question. He only thought about asking me. And yet I answered him as if he asked the question he had in his mind. Telepathic sending, this is similar to telepathy, except you are deliberately trying to send a message to another person. Another term might be remote suggestion. This is the ability to put thoughts or suggestions into the minds of others. A good example was the incident in which I suggested that my bus driver speed up. Here are more examples. The 20th of August 1980 Wednesday, I went to Burger King for lunch. With my lunch I ordered some French fries. When the server went to get my fries, I telepathed, give me a few more. Right before my eyes, she turned around, reached in the bin and added more fries to my order. The French fries were already measured into bags. But she grabbed a bag and afterwards she added some to my bag of fries. I said aloud, I don't believe it. The 19th of March 1981 Thursday, L was eating supper with my dad and I wanted a napkin. I decided to do a psychic experiment. I tried to put the word napkin into my dad's mind. A little while later, he reached up and grabbed a napkin for me. That's not too strange. But then he asked, were you just thinking napkin? Then I told him about my experiment. The 21st of October 1985 Monday, PF is a local computer dealer. During the previous week, he had ordered some computers from our company. He never went through with his order, and Alvis wanted DB to call PF and ask him about his order. DB didn't want to call PF back. At a particular time in the day, I said to everyone, since DB doesn't want to call PF, we'll have to get PF to call us. JS asked, how are we going to do that? I replied, well, we'll think about him really hard, and then he'll pick up on it and call us. Amused, JS said, okay. A few minutes later, PF called, after about a week of not hearing from him. JS said, it worked. Clairvoyance. Clairvoyance is when we perceive something out of the range of our senses. For instance, it was common for me to know what song was playing on the radio before I turned it on, or to hear the next song to be played, before the current song was over. It was common for me to brush these experiences off as coincidence to a certain point, but when these coincidences started stacking up, I started writing them down in my journals. I couldn't ignore them any longer. This ability was very helpful. Often I knew when the telephone would ring. Sometimes I would also know who was calling, which helped me avoid people I didn't want to talk to. In playing cards, I would know which card was best for me to play, without knowing or needing to know what the other players had. Sometimes I had fun with this ability. Here is an example. The 31st of May 1984 Thursday, I was talking with my Friday and fellow programmer, WB, about names. He said, I bet you could never guess my middle name, it's so strange. I calmly said, Otto, and he said wow. How did you know? I never told that to anyone, and it isn't on my job application or W-4 forms either. Then he said, but I got another middle name, but you'd never guess this other one in a million years. I calmly said, Gerhard? To which he replied, how did you know that? That's not a common name. I just said just a guess. To which he replied, I don't believe it. Visions, although this is similar to clairvoyance, I list it separately because there is a difference. With clairvoyance, I just seem to know things out of the reach of my senses, but with visions I saw clear as day pictures in front of me. I had to draw my own conclusions from those visions.